Kat Lowry, and I'm talking to Lyle Landine about her life in Rock Springs and in Utah, and we're sitting in her living room. And my first question is about your early life, where you were born.
I was born in Wanship, Utah, and my mother's mother-in-law was the midwife when I was born, and I was born at home. And I lived there for until I was about 3 or almost 4 years old. And then my father went up to Park City, where he worked in the mill. And we lived there for 3 years. And then we moved down to State Line, that was on the border of Utah and Arizona. And, or Nevada, I guess Nevada. It would be Nevada. And I had a sunstroke while I was down there, and so my mother had to bring me up where it was cooler, because it was so hot down there. And pretty soon my father came home, and he bought a store in Wanship. So I was raised for, until I was about 8 years old, in Wanship. And then we moved to Salt Lake, and we lived down on 3rd North, nearly to 3rd West, for a year and a half. And then my father bought a place up on 272 4th Avenue. That is between B Street and C Street on 4th Avenue. And I lived in the 18th Ward. I was raised in the 18th Ward. And when I look back and think of all the people that I met and knew while I was living in the 18th Ward, it was really something. You see, the president of the church lived President Smith, lived in the 18th Ward. And one of his daughters was my Sunday school teacher. Oh. And she used to have the girls come down sometimes on a Saturday afternoon, and we would bring our sewing, and we would go to the beehive and spend the afternoon. And if the president was in town, he came in and spoke and shook hands with every child, and he never missed.
How delightful.
And it was just really something. And then around the corner on North Temple, between State and Maine, another wife lived there, one of his other wives.
Also, they had polygamy then.
Oh, yes. That he had, I think he had 4 wives, 4 or 5 wives.
Was it legal then?
Oh, yes, when they were married. But then it was stopped.
When was it stopped? I can't remember.
Well, now, you want that on?
Yes, I sure do. Because I want to know.
Well, I don't know when it was stopped, but one of his wives lived, the first one lived in the beehive house, and then this other one lived on North Temple, almost across from the Lafayette School. She faced the Lafayette School. And then another wife lived down in the 17th Ward, and I worked for 2 of her sons until I was married. And they run the Salt Lake Knitting Store.
So each wife had their own house?
Oh,
and
yes.
They didn't live all together?
Oh, no. Mm-mm, no. Now, those 3, I knew all of them, knew them. And so we would go down there and spend a Saturday afternoon, and she would teach us there. And then President Grant lived in the 18th Ward until it was divided, and then he lived up in the, what ward was it? Not the 17th Ward. Ensign. He lived in the Ensign Ward after they were divided. And so there were the 2 presidents, that had lived there in the 18th Ward that I knew of. And then there was, oh, so many people like some of the Whitneys and all of them all lived in the 18th Ward. And so I really did get to, I can look back and remember so many of the old dignitaries,
yes,
that lived in the 18th Ward. And when I see this ad on the paper of the Bennett's there, I went to school over in the Lowell School.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold Bennett, I went through school with Harold Bennett.
Uh-huh.
And now when I see this ad that...
Bennett's Paint and Glass?
Bennett's Paint and Glass. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's where it was.
Yeah.
And he and I were two, when they decided to have a junior high, we were in the seventh grade. We would go into the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was divided. Now, we were asked, Harold Bennett and I was asked, out of that graduating class, if we would like to go down to the Bryant School for this new junior high school.
So you graduated in seventh and eighth grade?
No, we didn't graduate then. We missed that eighth grade graduation.
So people could graduate at eighth grade and there would be no more school.
That you went to high school.
Oh.
There was no junior high. You went from the eighth grade into high school. But when they started the junior high,
uh-huh,
they took so many out of the different graduating classes and put them all together in the Bryant School, and that was the first junior high school in Utah.
Where was that? In Salt Lake?
Yes, in Salt Lake. It's over on, I could take you there. It's around, I think it's around South Temple or First South, someplace there. An east,
oh,
a little way.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, we were in the first graduation class of the junior high
and then in
Salt Lake.
That's neat.
Uh-huh.
And then did you go to high school?
Yes. Yes. And then we went on to high school. But you see, when we went into high school, we had, I don't know whether it was a 1.5 or 2 credits.
Uh-huh.
That we went into high school with.
From your junior high?
From junior high, uh-huh.
How long did you go to junior high? Was it for 3 years?
No, it was just 2 years. It was just 2 years then.
So that would be the eighth and the ninth grade?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The eighth and the ninth. And so anyway, that was the way it was. And out of the Lowell School, Harold Bennett and I were the two that were taken from the Lowell School to go to the junior high. And then after I had to stay home. My mother was sick, and I had to stay home and help her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to work, I started to work at a ladies' ready to wear. It was the R.K. Thomas,
mm-hmm,
store. It was on at the old store. Was on the east side of Main Street,
uh-huh,
just above First South.
Okay.
And it was one of the oldest ladies' ready-to-wear stores. It had been there for years and years and years. And there was a lady that worked in there that was, had been my Sunday school teacher. And so I went to work there. And after we worked there for, I guess, a year and a half or 2 years, that building was sold.
Uh-huh.
And so we moved across the street, and we were next, just up from the drugstore that used to be on the corner,
mm-hmm,
of First South and Main Street on the west side. We moved into that place there. And right next to it was the Salt Lake Knitting Store. Now that was run, They had the knitting factory was over on North Temple and I think around about 3rd West, someplace up in there. And J.R. Smith, he run the factory, and Frank Smith run the store. But they were both in conjunction. Now, Emma, I can't think of her last name right now, but anyway, she was the secretary down at the factory, and in the afternoon she would come up and take over the office at the store, and she was the one that married Brother Mark Peterson, Emma Peterson, so I worked with her before we were married. And I remember when she come in one time and Frank Smith said to her something. He started to kid her because he knew that she had been going with Brother Peterson. And because they were all three of them living in the 17th Ward. And so he started kidding her about it, and he said, "Is it serious?" And she said, "Oh, someday maybe I'll let you know."
Well, it must have been serious.
And it was. And they were, she was one of the nicest people I think I ever met and ever worked with. Oh, she was a lovely person. But, and then I worked there until I met my husband. And I met my husband through my aunt. My aunt ran a store out on 33rd South and 23rd East. Mm-hmm. And I used to go out and help her once in a while. And that's how I met my husband. He come in the store because he lived on 23rd East, just south of 33rd South. Uh-huh. And so after I was married, we built. Mm-hmm. He had started to build before we were married. And so we built, but we never finished it. We didn't want to go in debt any more than we had there. So we just finished off 2 bedrooms, the bathroom, and the kitchen. And then, but we had the other 2 rooms upstairs. Mm-hmm. I had lines in there, used to hang the washing up in there. And the kids could play, the children could play on in there. And we lived there for that way. I never did live in the house after it was all completely finished. Anyway, we lived in there and got along all right. Everything was coming along. And then there was little or no work. The work was...
Was that during the Depression?
Mm-hmm. And I had 3 children. I had 3 little boys. And my husband wasn't working, and a friend of his that he had worked with years before we were married came down from Rock Springs. Mm-hmm. And said, "Well, why don't you come up to Rock Springs? There's plenty of work up there." So we talked it over, and we decided that maybe perhaps that would be a good idea. And I wasn't feeling too good. I had had a heart attack. And the doctor wouldn't let me come up to Rock Springs on account of the altitude. So I was down there alone with the 3 children. And we had a Model T Ford. And I'd never driven, never even touched the wheel. And I said, "Well, you'll have to leave me the Ford for sure." And I said, "Well, you'll have to teach me how to drive. I know nothing about it." And he said, "Oh, I will, but I've got to do this and do that and do the other." And so before the man that was to pick him up, to take him down, to put him on the train to come to Rock Springs, he showed me how to start and stop it.
And that was real thoughtful.
That was the extent of my driving license. Well, we had to go over a narrow culvert over over the ditch in front of there, and believe it or not, I had to back over that to get out of the yard. And I'll never know how I ever made it, but I did. And anyway, and that was how I learned to drive a car. And then after, he was up here about 2 years, then he came down, and the doctor said, "Well, go up and try it and see how you make it out." Well, we had stayed with my father and mother-in-law that night, and that was just almost, it was on 23rd East, nearly to 33rd South, so you were almost at the mouth of Parley. And we figured that we could be in Evanston for breakfast. But it had snowed all night, and there was about 3 or 4 inches of new snow, and we had to break way all the way. And it was 7:30 when we hit Wanship instead of Evanston. And we had breakfast with my grandmother and my aunt, and we went on to Evanston. And it was around about 1 or 1:30, something like that, if I remember right, when we stopped for dinner, for lunch. And my husband wanted to stay overnight. And I said, "Oh, I couldn't think of wrestling those 3 children. And I said, "Oh, let's go on." And he said, "But you don't know this country." He said, "You'll go for miles and miles and you'll never even see a house." And I thought he was just trying to get his way. And I said, "Oh, but let's try it." So we started out, and thank goodness it was beautiful, beautiful weather all the way. And we got into Rock Springs around 6:30 at night. And the sun was still shining, and it was just as nice as it could be. And we were home, and I've always liked it. I've always liked Rock Springs. We lived with people by the name of Zadras, and they were Italian people, and it was the first time I had ever been around anyone Italian. But she was a nice person, and we got along well. And our they had one little boy, a boy and a girl. And our children got along just beautifully. So we lived there for a long time, and always we were going to go home, back to Salt Lake, into our home. We were always going to go back. Well, we didn't go back, and the work never picked up down here so that he felt like he could make the move again. And so one day he said, "Don't you think we might as well sell out down there and us build up here?" And I said, "I thought that would be a good idea." So that winter he went down. He went back to Salt Lake and finished up the house, put in the fireplace that I had always wanted. Never did live there, and then we sold it. And
wasn't that hard to sell it?
No, because I had been away from it for so long.
Didn't bother you at all?
No, it didn't. I was thrilled that I was going to have enough room to really raise my family in. And he came home one day, and he was working with, we had 2 friends that lived up on number one. And he said, "How would you like to live up on number one?" And I said, "Well, that would be all right." And I said, "But where is it?" And he said, "Well, do you know where the Williams property is?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, it's right across the alley from them." And I said, "Well, that wouldn't be far. That would only be a block from the Christoffersons and a block and a half from the Smithers." And he said, "That's right." So we come over and we bought it. And then we started looking at plans. And he had subscribed for years for an architectural magazine. And we went through those magazines, and oh, we had the best time. And finally we found the plan that we liked, and we thought we could there. So he started in, and we started to build. And he did practically all of it. Some of the carpenters on a Saturday would come over and help him, or sometimes in the evening, But he built most of it himself. And we always tried to keep out of debt. We didn't want to, there. We never did owe more than $100 on this house.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And by that time, we had 6 children.
Oh my goodness.
We had five boys and 1 girl. 3 was born in Utah, and 3 was born up here.
Were they born in the old hospital?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were born in the old hospital.
Was it up on a hill with nothing around it? That's all.
No, they had trees. There was trees around that
old
hospital.
Did they have the houses around?
No. No, there was very few houses around it. Uh-uh. It was, it was just up above the Yellowstone School.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And the school was there, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, the Yellowstone School was there. Uh-huh.
And, just
but, and there was houses west of the hospital, but not east of it. There was very few houses east or north or south of it. Now it's all in the houses.
I know. Was Dr. Harrison your doctor?
No, Dr. Rowe. And he was an old, old-fashioned man. Oh, I just loved him. He would come in and, well, he was just at home.
Uh-huh.
And I just loved that man. He was my best friend, I think, in Rock Springs.
Oh, that's it. Was it R-O-E?
Like R-O-E. Mm-hmm.
I've not heard of him.
Well, he was a marvelous man. And like I was telling you, when we came here, the the first church was still standing. And it was a frame, a little frame building.
Where was that?
Right close to where the church is now. The old
up
church.
Up on Edgar?
No. Down the library.
The library. Okay,
the library.
All right.
That part of it.
Uh-huh. I see.
It was right there. See, they just sold it and then built on it. And Brother Young had a little piece of property. His house was right next to it, and he gave the church some of his ground so that they could make it a little bit larger.
I see.
And so then they tore that down, and then we started building that brick house, that big brick church. And oh, we thought that was so marvelous. We were thrilled to death with it. But it was the most unhandy church, because the Relief Society room was down the basement, and the kitchen was down in the basement, and if when we'd have the dinners, we had to cart everything up all those stairs to the amusement room, because there wasn't anything large enough, no room down in the basement large enough that you could have dinners in there. You couldn't. We had to.
They must have had a man do it.
It was.
I just can't imagine.
And and then it wasn't, it was quite a number of years, quite a long, long time, that they started to build the steakhouse.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when we looked at that, and those of us that could remember living in and going to the little wooden church and then that lovely brick building and now the big steakhouse up on Edgar, and it was up there all by itself. There was nothing up there then.
Oh, mm-hmm.
When that was first built,
you could see it for miles then.
Oh yes, it just was. It was just loomed up there. We were really proud of it,
right.
And for years when that was built, they decided that then there were 2 wards.
Mm-hmm.
There was the first and the second ward. And after a little while, there were 3 wards. And the 2 wards used the old building downtown, down The old brick building.
That the library.
The library.
Uh-huh.
They used that. And then the one ward just used the steakhouse. Then pretty soon there was four wards, then there was five, and then there were six, and seven, and eight. So now four wards use the Mountain View ward, and four of us use the
Stake Center.
The Stake Center. Mm-hmm. And so you can see how it's grown.
It has. Well, when you first moved here, did they have plumbing in the houses, or did you
Yes, of course. There was a lot of them. Down over in number four, and down over and up in number three.
Where are they? Because I don't know where the mines were.
Number four would be, around where the Sands Cafe.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Over in that section.
Uh-huh.
Where the old power plant and them used to be.
Uh-huh.
Now, number three would be up on Ridge Avenue.
Okay. I know where that is.
Well, there. Now, some of those old houses, there was no plumbing. There was no plumbing in those when we first came. Because they had just built little places themselves, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there was little or no plumbing. Finally, they got water, and then they would have a sink, but a lot of them didn't have the toilets or baths or anything mm-hmm. for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, everybody, either they added on or they put it, they would manage to put in a bathroom some way or other.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, there was everything. But down in Blair time, now they were quite some time before that was that they had water and bathrooms down there. That was quite. And now when I look and I see how it has developed and grown, and everything that we have, it's just amazing.
It is.
And I still like Rock Springs. And I'm so thankful and grateful when I think of down in Utah, all the floods and everything like that that they're having down there. And up here, you're so safe.
Yes.
You're so safe. But I've always felt that way. Mm-hmm. You know, for a long time, Rock Springs had kind of a shabby name.
Yes, it did. They call it Sin City, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, uh-huh, it did. Because there were just loads of saloons down around town. Mm-hmm. There were just saloons everywhere. And of course, I was not used to that or anything. But in all the time I have lived in Rock Springs, I have never seen or heard of as much there as there was other places.
Mm-hmm.
And I never witnessed anything like that. Everything was always just okay with us. And my children, I think the schools in Salt Lake in Rock Springs were far ahead of the ones in Utah. I know my children were much farther ahead than my nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
They were much farther ahead. I think every one of my children had a far better education.
Schools here are excellent. Mm-hmm.
They have. I think we've had some of the. I've always liked it. I've liked the church. I've liked the people that within the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've had good companionship. And no one could have had more help or more compassion than I had when my husband was sick and when he died.
What did he have?
Cancer.
Oh, dear.
And people were just absolutely marvelous.
When did he pass away?
69.
69.
Mm-hmm. And oh, you know, when you see someone suffer and suffer and suffer, and he had 4 operations, and I knew I would miss him,
mm-hmm.
but I was thankful to my Heavenly Father when he was through suffering. I knew he couldn't take any more, and I couldn't either.
Death mm-hmm. sometimes is a blessing.
Oh, yes. I couldn't stand
here. First, I needed to know your birth date.
April the 10th, 1899.
You just had a birthday.
Yes.
Well, happy birthday.
I was 85. I'm 1 year older than the year.
That's great. So you were in 1899.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. How old were you when you started to work? Was it about 17?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you said you didn't graduate from high school?
No. No, I didn't graduate from high school.
Because you had to help
uh-huh.
your mom.
No. And,
because she died when you were 19, so it was
mm-hmm.
2 years.
Uh-huh. And I had stayed home. And then, you see, I was 13 when my baby brother was born.
Ooh.
And I don't think, it was his birthday is
uh-huh.
the 12th of April.
Uh-huh.
And on his birthday, I wrote to him and I was telling him about how loved and he was by not only the family, but the whole neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
He was the only baby in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was grown.
Uh-huh.
And my friends would come down. Can we just hold him?
Oh.
Can we help push the buggy? Can we do everything? And the whole neighborhood, men, women, and all, just adored that baby. And he was a beautiful baby.
Oh,
he was a pretty baby. And our living room was and dining room was one long room,
uh-huh.
and it was divided by a colonnade.
Uh-huh.
And after supper, my father would get this baby in his arms, and he would start walking around the edge of the perimeter of these two rooms, and he would come to the clock shelf, and he'd tell him all about the clock, and the two. Things that the things that were on the clock, and then he would go and he'd tell him all about the pictures, and go into the living room and tell him all about the piano, and go all around, and there wasn't a thing, and he got to a place where if my father would try to go the other way or wouldn't tell him exactly there, he'd fuss. He couldn't talk, but he'd fuss. My father had to tell him exactly every time as they went around that house.
Oh, dear.
And there. And then after the third time that they'd gone, my mother would get him undressed and get him all ready for bed, and Dad would take him upstairs, and they'd go upstairs and go to bed. And then
mm-hmm.
Mother and I would sit there, and the brothers would sometimes go, and sometimes they up to bed, and sometimes they'd sit there with us. But Mother and I would either do some sewing or crocheting or something like that. And
uh-huh.
sometimes I would read to her while she would get all. She used to sew for quite a few different people
uh-huh.
there, and as she would get all machine sewing done, and she would just have save the handwork to do at night. And so while she was doing the handwork, while I would read to her. And that's how we spent most of our evenings of when I was growing up, was reading to Mother at night while she finished her sewing.
That's really neat. That keeps families together.
It was nice. Mm-hmm.
How many children were in your family?
Three boys and myself. I was an only girl.
Oh, so you're the third in line. There have been two boys and you, and then the baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's relatively a small family for that time, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
Because
uh-huh.
usually yeah. they had quite large families
yes,
then.
They had more than that, but that was what there was. Now, the, and I have two brothers still alive. My mm-hmm. oldest brother died quite some time ago. But the one just younger than I mm-hmm. isn't at all well. But the baby brother, he is still alive and fine and dandy.
All right. Oh, dear. Now, when were you married?
1923.
Okay, what month?
June the 28th, right. 1923. That's and we were married month. In the Salt Lake Temple.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And my grandmother, okay. bless her heart, my father's mother, came with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, because I had, see, no sisters, and I really had no one but my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But my grandmother came in and stayed with me and went through the temple with me.
Oh, that's neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you remember when you were a girl, different medications? Because you didn't go to the doctors much, did you?
No.
Did your mom use, you know,
oh,
the
yeah.
herbs? And
mentholatum. Whenever I never am without mentholatum. That was a cure-all.
I know, my mother used it on me. No matter.
See?
You're right. There it is.
It's right there. You didn't run to the doctor for everything. Mm-mm. And grandmother had been a midwife mm-hmm. for many, many years. And so mother picked up what grandmother taught her. And no, we didn't go to the doctor too often. Mm-mm. No.
I think that's just amazing, because every time my kids get sick, it seems like, you know, every week yeah. we're in the doctor's office. And I talk to some people, and they say, well, we never went to the doctor, and I just can't imagine not going to the doctor.
No, well, you just didn't. Uh-uh. No.
So they just had their own cures.
Yes, their own cures. And I don't know, we all got along. Everything seemed to go.
Do you remember any epidemics or anything like measles or polio? Because they didn't have shots back then.
No, I was trying to think. No, I don't remember. I think I must have had whooping. I know I had whooping cough. I can remember that. I can remember having whooping cough. But I can't remember having measles or anything like that.
Hmm.
I just can't remember of ever having anything but whooping cough. But I do. I can remember that. Oh, I had a real good dose of that.
I understand it's really bad in children. And they have the shots nowadays.
Yes. And, of course, now, they did have measles shots, because I was...
Well, did they?
I had measles.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I had that, and, oh, what else was it? Measles and something else that I know I had shots for.
Mm-hmm.
So, as soon as it come in, my mother saw that we had it.
Mm-hmm.
We because grandmother thought that was wonderful.
All right.
Grandmother was all for that. And anything that grandmother was for, my mother was for.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, weren't you Relief Society president here for a while in Rock Springs?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
What was that like? Was it hard to go visit all the sisters being spread out?
No. It was No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being Relief Society president because I liked the women.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of the hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of quilts we quilted when we were building that stake center. And, you know, we got We got $50 for some of those. $15.50. We got $15 for those beautiful, beautiful, for quilting those quilts.
Wow.
My daughter-in-law was given 2 tops.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them, of course, that was just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And she paid $175 to have those,
oh yeah,
those quilts quilted. And Ruby and I have laughed over that time and again because Ruby was a famous quilter.
Uh-huh.
And there was Blanche Flohr and Ruby and I and that were some of the older women that quilted. And we quilted hundreds and hundreds of quilts, and the only and I don't think we ever got more than $15 for quilting any of those beautiful quilts.
And it's so difficult to quilt.
It is.
Oh, it is.
And now they're asking us to start. It was almost a lost art there for a while.
Yes, it was.
But they are trying to get it back,
mm-hmm,
because it just was. It was too bad,
mm-hmm,
but we would put those up and we'd quilt and quilt and quilt, and but it was our way of earning as much money as we earned, and mm-hmm, we did earn quite a lot of money.
And that was to build the stake center.
Mm-hmm, that was to build the stake center.
Were you allowed to have a fund? A relief society fund, or did you have to take it out of the state budget or the
no? We made a fund. We had a fund for it. Uh huh. That's what we.
Because that's changed now.
Uh huh. Because that was, that's how we did. We had a state fund,
mm-hmm,
or a fund that we
and
put
for
the steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And then we had lunches and dinners and oh, I don't know. All of the women did work. We really earned that building.
Oh, but wasn't it fun being together?
Oh,
it was. Awesome.
I think, now I can see I like this idea of meeting Sundays, but I think we miss a lot too. We don't have the closeness.
Mm-mm.
We do not have the closeness that we used to have in Relief Society.
Mm-hmm.
You have advantages. In some ways, there's advantages, but you're missing an awful lot,
mm-hmm,
too.
I agree.
I wouldn't have traded those years that I was in Relief Society for these new years. Mm-mm, I wouldn't.
I like the old way too.
Okay,
about World War I, how are you affected by that?
Well, the only way that I was affected, because I had no relative that was in the war.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know my husband at that time, but my husband was in the World War I,
mm-hmm,
and he served in Germany. He was overseas. But he was never hurt.
Oh,
he come home all right. But in the Second World War, then none of my brothers were in, but I did have cousins, and I did have people that was close to,
mm-hmm,
me in the World War I. And the only way that really that it affected me was that, I would go and help them sew, you know, when,
yeah,
we would, and roll bandages and things like that.
Was that the Red Cross or through the Relief Society?
In the Red Cross. We would roll bandages, and then there was some things that sometimes we had to do old little... something, put them together, you know,
mm-hmm,
something there. But that was really about there. And then, of course, we always used to help with,
mm-hmm,
drives for when they would have the drives for money.
Oh, money.
For when they would have bond drives. Why, then we always used to help there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when it come there, all my boys have served in the, all, every one of them have served.
No.
Mm-hmm. Dick was the only one, let's see, he was the only one that was in the Navy. The rest were all in the infantry, mm-hmm. All of them. But in one way, I think of how much it helped my boys to have been, at the time, they had no idea that it was going to help them. But when my oldest son had graduated from Wyoming, he went back east for medical, mm-hmm. into a medical school, and his Army service helped him through school.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And when Bob graduated from Logan,
mm-hmm.
And he went in to BYU for agriculture.
Uh-huh.
He went there. It helped him through BYU. And Dick went into BYU.
Uh-huh.
And he got assistance for BYU in there, and he's a teacher.
Uh-huh.
And then Don went in for dentist school. When he went into dentist, why his service helped him through that. And Jim went in, he went in for just medical. And then after he had practiced for about 3 years,
mm-hmm.
then he went into plastic surgeon. And he's a plastic surgeon now. But the time they served in the service,
mm-hmm.
really helped them with their education.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. It really did. It helped them ever and ever so much.
Okay, you mentioned about rolling the bandages. You did that here in Rock Springs, right?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Did you go someplace to do it, or did you do it in
Yes,
homes?
We would go down. They used to, there was, the Elks home,
mm-hmm.
was one place where we used to go and do bandage work and things,
uh-huh.
like that. And there was one or two places around town that they would open up, you know, the Red Cross would have it, and we would.
So would it be in people's homes then, or would this?
No, usually there. Now, I know one or two times they used the amusement hall in the church.
Oh.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
They would, just any place, you know, that was large enough that they could get people, uh-huh. in there, why they would use.
Uh-huh.
And that was what we used to do.
Now, you mentioned about the Depression, that's why you moved to Rock Springs. How were you affected by the Depression? Was it really hard for you?
Yes, it was. Because I had the two babies, and like you say, my husband was a person that was always afraid of debt. He did not like debt. And we tried never. And that was something that was easy for me, because my father and mother were that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't pay for it, you couldn't afford it.
Right.
And that was the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, Dad had been raised the same way, because he hated debt. And so it was hard. And that was, we were real glad for him to come up here and work. And he did have steady work.
That's great. I understood that the Depression really didn't hit Rock Springs.
It wasn't. Oh, it wasn't anything to what it was down home. No. No, it wasn't. The mines worked quite steady the whole time. Uh-huh. I can't remember of the mines ever laying off. It was steady. And you know, when the mines were working steady, there was always money.
Uh-huh. Right.
And people could afford had then they started building nicer homes. Uh-huh. All the homes up on B Street and all up in that area. Yeah. All those nice lovely homes and all around there, those nice homes started to be built because people could afford it.
And your husband worked in the mines?
No, he was a carpenter.
Oh.
He worked for the Superior Lumber Company.
He did. So uh-huh. He built some of these homes here.
Oh, yes.
I assumed he worked in the mines.
Oh, no. He was a carpenter.
Oh,
no, he built practically, there isn't a part of town that he didn't work in.
That's great. Oh, that's my husband.